We have two reports this evening on the internet and the business of the internet. On Thursday, the founders of the search engine company Google filed plans for an initial public offering of stock. They included an open letter to shareholders. What Google calls its owner's manual reads like a manifesto against investment banks and traditional IPOs. NPR's Elaine Corey reports from San Francisco that Google's public offering will be anything but traditional.
At Google's Silicon Valley headquarters, the Googleplex, legend has it that the neon-colored lava lamps multiply overnight. Employees play the grand piano in the lobby or rollerblade to meetings. So perhaps it's just stating the obvious if Google's letter to investors opens with this declaration: Google is not a conventional company. We do not intend to become one. Josh Daffy, a senior writer with The Deal magazine, has been covering high-tech mergers and IPOs for 5 years, yet even he was surprised by the tone of Google's prospectus.
I've never really seen something so very heartfelt, very idealistic. It's usually very standard.
But Google tends toward some very unstandard practices, such as encouraging engineers to spend one day a week working on whatever inspires them. It's a company managed by consensus and guided by the principle, don't be evil. And because of that, Google chose a novel IPO structure. In the typical deal, investment bank underwriters set the price and distribute shares to their favored customers, usually giant pension and mutual funds. The individual investor is mostly out of luck, but Google will use what's called a Dutch auction to level the playing field for the small investor. Again, Josh Jaffe.
It's different. They're going to raise a lot of money, and the price is going to be determined by investors who put bids in beforehand. It's not going to be just the institutional investors who get a chance to determine the price. It can be anyone.
The way a Dutch auction works, anyone can place a bid online for any number of shares at any price. A computer will review all the bids and find what's called the clearing price, the highest price at which there is demand for all the shares. Tom Tawley, who teaches finance at the University of Southern California, explains what happens next.
So if you bid, say, $15 a share and the IPO is priced at 12, you will get the IPO at 12. Everyone gets the same price. And then you may not get all the shares you want. You may get it on a prorated basis. But as long as you bid high enough, you'll probably get some shares.
If the idea is to get the widest distribution of shares, then an auction is the way to go. But there's a potential downside when amateurs set the price. Some critics say it's like letting the lunatics run the asylum. They fear ordinary investors will get so carried away, they'll bid Google's price up into the stratosphere in a repeat of the dot-com insanity. David Menlo, the president of IPOfinancial.com, also wonders what will happen after day one of Google's sale. In traditional IPOs, some investors are excluded deliberately, so there's pent-up demand for the shares. Menlo's not sure what will happen in Google's case.
There needs to be a backlog of new customers, new investors that are interested in pursuing the stock in the aftermarket for those that didn't get the IPO price stuck.
But given the hype about this IPO, Josh Jaffe predicts there'll be a backlog of interested investors for a long time to come. As for Google's founders, they say their goal is a simple one: to wind up with a rational price set by informed buyers and sellers that will keep ordinary shareholders betting on the Google team. Elaine Corey, NPR News, San Francisco.